Hey, good evening, everybody. This is Sean Kelly from the Pittsburgh Paranormal Society, and welcome into the night. Tonight's this is going to be just to talk about different paranormal things and talking about witches. I was my guest tonight. She didn't come on. She had other things to do. So I just want to talk a little bit about how I think that witches have been persecuted for no reason at all. I mean, it's something that they totally believe in. All right. It was sad when I was doing some research, and oh, my friend Jessica Wolf, she did some research for me too. And so it was like I was reading all this stuff, how they were persecuted, how they were with the dealing with the devil and stuff like that. But let me tell you something, everybody. I know a lot of witches out there. I really do. And they're not bad. They're not bad people. In fact, some of them are like some of the nicest people I ever met. And so to me, they get a bad deal. Do you know that back, I think it was either the 16th or 17th century over in Europe, that they had witch trials, and I think the number was 800,000 were convicted of witchery, and 80% of those were women, you know. So, to me, I think with the high, you know, the bad stuff that we were taught, you know, they got a bad deal, and I don't think it's right. Okay, because we're in the 21st century now, and from what I read earlier, they're still hunting witches, especially over in the African Africa, over in that way, and it's not right, you know. Right now, our world really, really, really bad, and there's a lot of stuff that's going on, and I don't like it. And everyone, in fact, I've talked to a couple people that actually thought that, you know, everything's happening now because a witch cursed everything. Well, you know what? You can go either way with that. You know, if you don't have to believe in that curse if you think that a witch cursed you. You don't need to believe that. No. You know, it's something that you kind of like fight, you know, or just don't even think about it, that you've been cursed. I believe that shit happens. Okay. Shit does happen. And it's not because you let a witch into your house or cross your threshold or whatever. So the other day I was down Russ's house, and we were watching this one story. I forget what it was called, a haunting on, I'm not quite sure about it. I forget the name, but it was about this guy who his house was like pounding and pounding and pounding. You know, I mean, it was possessed. Okay. And across from them, there lived a so-called witch. And, you know, I'm watching the whole story, and I'm listening to the people, and it's like, maybe it could have been a witch. Maybe it could have been her. You know, it's real hard to trust what I see on TV now because a lot of that's make believe. You know, look at your paranormal shows. Okay. I mean, everybody watches them. I have a hard time watching them. I really do. Because what you see on TV is not what you see in real life when you go investigate. I mean, they have to do it for the cameras. They have to get evidence so they can keep their people. Well, back 7 years ago, me and Marty Patterson, we decided to do a TV show, and it was called Raw Fear. And the whole deal about Raw Fear was that we took eight, you know, young adults. I mean, the youngest was 18 and the oldest was like 21, 22. that never investigated in her life. And what we did was we did a 13 show. We did all our filming, we did all our editing. And we were on Fox 53 for a while, then WPNY here in Pittsburgh. But the thing was, we had to pay for it. We had to pay for the show. So with that said, we took these eight kids and we went to different places and we filmed the show. It was an hour-long show. And I remember our second one, we did the Dixmont Cemetery down here in Pittsburgh. It was supposed to be, they tore it down, and the reason why they tore it down, and it was a mental asylum, is because Kmart wanted to buy some land there. And so when they tore it down and Kmart started to build down there, there'd be erosion off the hill that they couldn't build one, and everyone considered that it was the spirits of the people there. Now, Dixmont wasn't standing at the time, and it was just one building. But in this building, it was like a bunch of offices and stuff like that, and it was creepy. It was really, really, really creepy, because there were some nights that we were there till like 1, 2 in the morning, because we were editing to get to the give it to the TV show on Tuesday night, and so it can be aired on Saturday. And we'd be leaving there, and I'm telling you what, it's just like, that movie, The Eyes Have Hills, The Hills Have Eyes. Well, it was like this building had eyes all over us. And I mean, I'll be honest with you. I get scared when I go on investigations, and to be honest with you, I get scared a lot of times there. It was like I had to pull out of there like 85 mile an hour, and I went fast. I couldn't deal with it. But back to the show. Back up on the hill, they had the cemetery up there where they buried the people. And what was really sad, there were no names on the headstones. All they had were numbers. And it was really, really bittersweet. It was sad. But the thing was, those people there who died there, I believe that they did lobotomies back then. They did weird stuff because they were either depressed or the family members didn't want them anymore, and so they died there. And so you have all these cemetery markers up there, and we figured it would be a very, very hot spot to go and investigate and shoot a film, shoot a show there. But you know what? We didn't get a damn thing. We didn't get one orb. We didn't get one EVP. No one had no personal experiences. And you know what I did? I showed it on TV. And the reason why I showed it on TV was because I wanted to show people that not all paranormal investigations is what you see on TV. And that's how it went. And it was funny because I got a lot of remarks back then, sending me emails and stuff like that. And they were saying, "Thank you." And I'm like, what are you thanking me? Because you put the show on and you never got any evidence, So it was kind of an awakening for people. And that brings back to whenever, back to Raw Fear, it was interesting because what we did is that we took these eight people, eight kids, that never ghost hunted in their life. And we had 13 shows. And what happened was they each week they just got better and better and better and better at investigating the paranormal. And by the 13th show, I was so proud of them. I tell you what, I was so proud of them because they would put taps to shame. They would put any gusto to shame because they knew their stuff. And it was a privilege working with them. I still talk to a couple of them today. And they're doing okay. You know, they're not being possessed by spirits. You know, a lot of them are young. They just got married. They just had babies. And I saw them as kids or young adults, and now I see them as mothers and fathers. And it just, you know, hurt and warms my heart up a wee bit on that, to see that and to watch these kids grow from 18 up to, I want to say they're like 25, 26 maybe. I don't know yet. I haven't asked their age because I hear it's impolite to ask a girl's age. But so right after we had Raw Fear, I wanted to continue the film, and I came up with the TV show Paranormal Pittsburgh, which we only filmed like three shows. But the coolest thing was that we went to Gettysburg, and I know I brought up Gettysburg last week, and I'm going to bring it up this week because of the Paranormal Pittsburgh show. So we were up there on Culp's Hill, and ladies and gentlemen, Culp's Hill to me is the most haunted area of the battlefield. And I'm sure you're going to hear people say Devil's Den, the Watermark, Jenny Wade House, all kinds of other areas up there. But no, Culp's Hill was to me the haunted, most haunted area up there. And as we were filming, were walking up the hill, and we started to get some activity up there. And all of a sudden, now we were just on the hill ourselves. Nobody else was on there. Okay. And someone was throwing rocks at us. And I do have a little clip of it. I might just put it on my Facebook page, Sean Kelly Into the Night one, and I'll also post it on the Pittsburgh Paranormal Society page too. And they literally started throwing rocks at us, and that kind of like creeped me out. It was like, okay, are you a Confederate? Are you a Union soldier? What? But that was a great, great time. We were there for what, two nights, three nights, I think. I don't know. But that night up on Culp's Hill to me was the best. What other nice thing up there was, we went over to where the 20th Maine monument was. And if you know a little bit about Gettysburg, and if you don't, the second day, that's what you heard about, the little battle called Little Round Top. And the 20th Maine was, he was, what, I think, a general, Chamberlain, or Lieutenant General Chamberlain. Well, he's the one that made that bayonet charge down the hill and captured, I do believe they were from Alabama, the Confederates down there. And so getting back to this century, we were there. And you know, I've gone up to Gettysburg so many times, and around the monument, you didn't really get anything. The only thing I would get around that monument was you can actually smell the gunpowder being fired. Sometimes you could hear the shots too. It's crazy. If you ever get a chance and you're in Pennsylvania, you need to go and take a 3-day trip up to Gettysburg. But so we're by the monument, and I have it on film. Megan, she had the K2 going, and we actually got a response up on that hill right there, on Round Top by the main monument. And it blew me away, you know. So to me, that was the highlight of our trip up to Gettysburg. And then all of a sudden the money ran out and couldn't film those shows. And it's like, okay. So what we did now is that we kind of closed it and we went our separate ways. But I did not quit investigating. What we do for us, for people, is that we mainly deal with clients, like I was saying last week. And to me, when something's in your house and you have no understanding on what it is, and it's just really freaking you out, who are you going to call? They say Ghostbusters, haha, the movie. But no. And we would go to houses and we would investigate for them. Now, there's a little bit of criteria, a critiqueness that we do. Okay. First of all, I set up an interview with the people. So what I do is I come out to their house, I'll sit down, I'll talk to them. I do ask them some questions, and they need to be honest when they answer them. And then I do a little walkthrough. I just take a camera or K2 meter or whoever I have with me who comes along as I'm talking to the clients. What they'll do is they'll go around and do their little EVPs and K2 sessions and see what we pick up. And then we come back and we set up a date where we come back and we actually do the investigation. And that's one thing I want to bring up too. I talk to a lot of groups that whenever they go to a client's house, that they have the clients go live in a hotel or for the night and let them have free rein of the house. And I'm thinking, really? Really? You're just going to kick them out of their own house and give you free rein? That's ridiculous. To me, that's just being downright ignorant. And I don't believe that. I believe that we should have the clients there because, but oh shit, I don't know if anybody's watching, but I just saw a shadow go right behind me. That's creepy. No lie. I did see a shadow creep. There he goes again. But that's, living in a house with a paranormal investigator dealing with a lot of ghosts. Yeah, we got him in my house. But and so we sit down and then we go and investigate. We set up all the cameras and we just do our thing for 3 hours. I don't believe in that witching hour between the hours of midnight and 3 in the morning. I'm like 59 years old and I'm tired and I need to go to bed because I gotta usually end up going to work the next day. But we like to go. I like to start about 8 o'clock, get everything set up. And actually, for me, in my experience, at the time of the good time when you get all these hits and stuff like that, is between the hours of 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. And people ask me, "Well, why do you guys go investigate at night?" And I said, "Think about it, right? You get up. You're busy, you go to work, you have to cook dinner for the kids, stuff like that. And you're just so, you have so much going on in your mind, you're doing too many chores or whatever you need to do for that day. And then all of a sudden everyone's in bed and you're sitting up and then there's peace and quiet. And then all of a sudden now you feel and hear all the things that in your house that are making, the ghosts are making some noise." But so we go in and we sit and we investigate and go home and check out the video. Sometimes we pick up some evidence, sometimes we don't. But either way, I do get back to the clients and I sit down and I talk to them. And we sit down and talk and then they kind of like feel a little better. They feel like they're not crazy. They feel like that they're not going insane, and that makes me feel good knowing that I've given them a peace of mind, that my group has given them a peace of mind. And I say and I'm a lot, but you know what? My guests bailed out on me, and I say and I'm a lot. So, but please bear roofing. I'll eventually get it fixed. This is my second show. I did do my first show last week, and it was Wednesday night, 7:30 to about 8:30, quarter of nine. And I had a lot of fun. I really did. I was nervous. I had my friend Russ Round on, and we talked about different things of the paranormal, and I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed being on the show Chase of Prophecy. You know, that was, we've done that for over a year now. And we started off small with not a lot of viewers and not a lot of listeners. And then all of a sudden, we get a lot of viewers and we get a lot of listeners. And that makes me feel good because, you know, it kind of shows that we come up with very good topics. We come up with very good guests. And what I liked about doing the radio show a lot was I learned a lot. I learned about UFOs. I learned about Big Feet, Bigfoot, cryptids, Mothman, UFOs, ghosts, different people investigating different paranormal groups, and a lot of knowledge. And so with all that knowledge that I'm getting, it just seems that as time went on, as we were doing our shows, I became a lot smarter. And believe it or not, I actually learned how to look and do some investigation on my own. And it's like, that is so cool. You know, or I can go on and put a name in the computer and start researching it. And I find all this kind of good stuff on the subject that we're doing. And you know what, guys, ladies, never did that before. You know, I was too lazy for it. I didn't want to research anything until I got with Jenny and in Chasing Prophecy. So now what I have learned for over a year there, I'm gonna definitely put it into my show here. I plan on, you know, it's coming up on the Halloween season, and you know, I plan on having voodoo people or hoodoo or like ghosts, witches, people who believe in werewolves and vampires and stuff like that. Because the way I look at it, everybody needs a voice. We all need voices. I mean, for the longest time, I really didn't. I investigated a couple, you know, houses by myself, but you know what? I needed a voice. I wanted to speak out. And there was really, really nobody there to help me speak out. And so I did it on my own. So with that said, I think people who have, you know, different situations going on in their life, what they truly believe that there are leprechauns and fairies and gnomes and I don't know. They need a voice. You know, they need to come on for an hour and just talk. Because if you don't talk and you just keep it in, what's happening is that, you know, you're going crazy, you're going insane because and you clog up and you're like, oh my God, what am I going to do if I tell this person that I saw a leprechaun in my corner of my house the other night? They're going to think I'm crazy and then they're not going to want to talk to me. And I'm like, come on my show. You know, come on my show and talk about it. It don't have to be about all that. It can be talking about anything you want it to be. Whatever scares you, whatever your fears are, people need to hear it and you need to let it go. And it's okay to tell people. I'm a good talker and I've talked many people's ears off. But again, as you can tell, I'm saying the word. I tell you what, I'm going to make a deal with you. From now on until the end of the show, if somebody's out there and they actually want to count all the ums that I say, you know what? You'll get a prize. Yeah, I can send you a mug, or I can send you a size 2X large t-shirt. But just give me, a round ballpark favorite figure of how many ums I say. So, yes, with people having voices, come on the show. It's okay to tell people in a way that you won't hurt their feelings or you don't think you're being hurt or stuff like that. Hey, straight up, I'll tell you a story about fairy rings. And when my son was about 7 or 8 years old, I lived over in an apartment complex and they had gardens out there. It was like a little big garden, not a little big, a big garden. And they planted things. And one night, me and him were sitting out there. And all of a sudden, we saw all these little lights circling. Okay. And I'm thinking, okay, it was hot. It was like, could have been lightning bugs. And that's what I thought it was. But as I was looking, okay, they weren't ladybugs. They were something else. And I think they were, to me, they were fairies. Okay. Now, I'm just like, man, it can't be fairies. No, because at that point in time, I was hunting ghosts, but I didn't really get into the fairy or gnome situation. But next morning, I went back out to that garden, and there was a fairy ring there, a perfectly round circle of mushrooms. And when I come to find out, that was a fairy ring, and that blew me away. And so, what I would do where I worked at, I was at there's a park out there where I live, it was South Park. And I used to take my son out there, and we'd go visit the buffalo that they had out there and just spend some good father-son quality time. And there were times that I'd just go out there myself, and that's where I'd meditate. And it was a beautiful place to meditate. It was nice and quiet. There are a couple of things happened to me when I was out there meditating. I started to get into the Lakota Sioux spirituality, which is an awesome thing to do or learn. And so I was in my meditation, and all of a sudden I come out, and you know what? Honest to God, there was a raccoon with her little babies behind her, sitting in front of me, and just like waving her little paws up at me. And I'm like, whoa, that kind of blew me away. And then there was time where I was sitting under a tree out here, out there, and it was like 80, 85 degrees out, no humidity at all, and I'm sitting under a tree. And all of a sudden, it felt like it was raining. And I'm looking around, I'm looking out, and I don't see no rain coming, but I just see all these teardrops. I feel the teardrops or water, going on my head. And so I looked up, and to this day, I do believe that the tree was crying. That was like something, because what I like to do, is the tree was sad. What I did was that I put my hand on the tree and I felt the energy, the vibrations coming from the tree. It was sad. It was sad the way we were destroying the planet. It was sad the way that people had no regards for animal life, plant life, stuff like that. And it was sad and it was crying. Now, y'all might think I'm nuts out there, right? But I'm being honest with you. But the meditation for me with learning how to do Lakota Sioux spirituality, I've done a lot of meditations that I love, and they have shown me a lot of stuff. I have experienced my spirituality has risen a lot since I started to meditate. So what happened to me? What I think. Back in 1983, I'll tell the story. In 1983, I was taking a drug called Anabuse. And Anabuse, it's a drug that weans you off alcohol. And so I was taking it for a year. And one day I just got depressed and I drank a whole fifth of Jack Daniels on it. And so when they finally got me back to the ship, I guess, from what the doctor said, I died. Now, some say 10 minutes, but I know I'd be totally dead or brain dead by then. But I don't know how long I was out. But when I died, I didn't see the light. I saw darkness. And that scared me. That really, really scared me because I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to hell. I really thought to God I was going to hell. But then again, I came to. And the crazy thing about that was I started to see things, hear things, and feel things that weren't there. I mean, I really, really thought that I was psychologically losing my mind. Because what, you're sitting there and all of a sudden you see somebody sitting or standing over there and there's nobody there. I went to priest, I went to minister. Went to doctors, went to psychologists to figure out why this is happening to me. And none of them could come up with an answer. They just didn't know. They didn't put me on no medication, thank goodness, but it bothered me for the longest time. And when I got out of service, I stayed down in Florida and, things happen to where you're supposed to meet certain people for a certain time. And I walked out and I met a couple who was in the metaphysical community. And they kind of took me under their wing. And all of a sudden, all these answers started to come to me. They started to happen. And what happened was I started to realize that spirits do exist. And that demons do exist, and that fairies exist, and that leprechauns exist. And that's when I started on my path to where I'm at today. Do I regret it? No. Do I like it? No. Because I don't have a life. I work and then, and I help people and I love people and I know that's my path right now. But you know what? There are times that I just want to be normal, go out and be a normal person. But you know what? I'm not. And I'm okay with that. If you want to learn any more about that, you can always leave me a message in my Facebook page. But my path right now is like to help people. To help spirits cross or do whatever spirit wants me to do. And it took me a long time to accept it, and now I do. And so, I did not chose this to help people to investigate, to heal, whatever you want to call it. I believe it was written down the day before I was born. This was my path. And it's great to know that you're helping people out. It's great to know that you're healing people. But you want to look back and after everything is through and you go to bed at night, and all of a sudden you get alone. You get lonely. And it's and it, but you know what? That I guess that's what the path is. I guess that is what I need to do. And you know what? I'm okay with it. What really makes me very, very happy inside is knowing that if I can make a person smile for one night or for that one time, or that one period of time during the day, I know I did my job. And that's how I go with the work that I do right now in the spirit world and with people and the clients. Ever been since I started investigating in 2006, okay, I've just taken off. Okay, I had a lot of interviews in newspapers. At that time in 2006, TAPS was actually starting. I think they started like a month or two. I'm not sure when they started, but I know that the paranormal investigating was very big at that time. And it just caught on. I never advertised. It was all done by word of mouth. But all the investigations that I did, all the places that I've been to, and all the people I've helped, I met a lot of good people, a lot of very good people, and I met a lot of friends. And that's what kind of made me feel better whenever the times are really low for me, when I was lonely and depressed and whatever. I knew I had people that I could call. I know people that would take me in and we'll have a cup of coffee, and stuff like that. But there are two big things that really, really, really are very important to me. My sobriety date is January 21st, 1991. And I just celebrated 30 years of sobriety. And I ghost hunt and I believe in fairies and I also believe in leprechauns too, but I stayed sober. And I look back at it sometimes and I'm thinking, you know what? Where would I be now if I didn't take that, if I didn't get sober? Would I be still doing the same thing? I don't know. But all I know is that one day at a time, by the grace of God, one day at a time, I celebrate 30 years. And I think in 22, I'll have 31 years. And that's great. Never in my wildest dreams did I ever think that I would be 32 years of sobriety. But I'm not there yet. I'm still at 31, 30, but you know what? By the grace of God, knock on wood, I might get to the 32. It all depends. But the second biggest thing, the very, well, one in 1A was the day my son was born. He was born, his name is Paul Michael Kelly. And he was like a godsend to me. I am so proud of him today. But just to watch him grow up and study and play football. But he really got into school. And he actually got his doctorate degree from Ohio State University. And now he's at Midwest, and I'm not going to say what state he's in, but he's got a very good paying job now. But he also busted his butt doing it. He busted his butt all the stuff he did. I'm like, sometimes I shake my head because he did like 12 years of regular school and 12 years of college. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. But I tell you what, he busted his butt, and he got him where he is today. And I am so proud of him. I don't know. I guess every father, every mother out there kind of understands where I'm coming through. I believe what someone told me a long time ago, our children, God loans them to us. But after a certain time, when they grow up, it's time for them to move on for themselves. And that's cool. I'm just like grandpa, proud papa, and there's a lot good things down in the future for him. I really caught off guard here tonight. Hopefully next week I'll have another guest. I don't know. Oh yeah, by the way, if you can, if you go to my Pittsburgh Paranormal Society page, or if you go to my Facebook page, Sean Kelly, mine has the logo on it. That's my picture. You know what? Tell me what you want to hear. Give me some ideas so we can bring it up for a show. And if there's anybody out there that just wants to talk, you know, don't always have to be about paranormal. Can be talked about cryptids, it can talk about UFOs, whatever you want to talk about. Now, I'm not, you know, no Dr. Phil. I will tell you that. But I'm here for you. And I want you guys, ladies and gents, to know that I'm here. And I can't promise you that I'll be there in a split second for you. But I tell you what, I will say a prayer for each and every one of you tonight and every night, that you have a blessed day and in the morning. Because that's the way I feel. You know, I hate all the negativity that's going on in the world right now. I hate it. It's disgusting. The way people treat each other, the way different countries treat each other. I don't even get into politics no more because I don't know who to trust. But I know that I can trust myself, and I know I can trust my heart, that as long as I'm okay in this world, whoever's around me is going to be okay too. You gotta send out that positively, you know, that energy, positive energy to people. You know, you can't just keep sucking in the negative. And if being in the paranormal world, you know that spirits are attracted to energy. And if you're mean and you're bad and you're screaming and you're yelling, you're going to attract all this negative energy. And eventually, believe it or not, it does happen. And I want to thank my friend Penny McCann for explaining this to me. She said that, you know, you can have so much negative energy that you release out there in the universe that it actually just becomes a blob that surrounds you all the time. It's like a different entity, but without a heart. It's just all your negativity stuck right there in the universe. I've seen it on people, you know. So you need positive stuff. You need positive energy. You don't have to go out and, I mean, you know, give everybody $100 or take them out to dinner or whatever to make them happy. Just smile at them. Smile. That's all you need to do. Smile at people. Tell them that you care. They might think you're nuts, but you know what? At least they know that they can make, they, you know, that you care for them. So this has been a good show. I'm glad that whoever listened to it tonight, that, you know, you just got something out of it. And as time goes on, you know, my shows will be, you know, free. So I would like to know the total of the ums that I had tonight. But for me today, right now, life is good. It really is. I got a good job. I have people who love me. I got my paranormal group. It's like my family. You know, and I take care of my mom. And I'm just doing okay. You know, it's not the end of the world. Never will be. You know, it's funny, you know, people say, oh, I don't have a job, and oh, I don't have this, I don't have that. And, you know, they feel sorry for self. But like, you know what? Honestly, McDonald's is hiring. You know, people are hiring. Go out and make make your life worth something. Because at one point in time in my life, I was right there with those people where I just didn't care anymore. I didn't care if I lived, I didn't care if I died, but the only thing that kept me going was my son. And God works in mysterious ways on that, because I remember one time I had about 5 years of sobriety, and Paul was home from daycare, whatever. I was off that day, and something happened. I was having a really, really bad day, and so it was around noon time. I put him in the bed, time for him to take his nap, and I tried to get a hold of my sponsor, couldn't get a hold of him. I was like freaking out, so I laid down next to him. And as God is my witness, okay, he woke up. Now, this little kid's 5 years old at the time. He woke up and he said to me, "Dad, it looks like you need a hug." This little 5-year-old boy gave me a hug. And then he said, "Dad, let me hold your hand. I will babysit you," quote unquote, 5-year-old. And I knew that God was in my life that time, or spirit. I'll say God. I'm not afraid of saying God. But that's for another story. That's for another hour. But then I knew that God, my higher power, was working. And I knew I was going to be okay, knowing that he said that. So, getting like pretty close to the witching hour. I think I got about 3 more minutes left. Is there nothing now that I really want to say? I do want to thank Jessica Wolf for helping me get some stuff off, real quick tonight about, which is, eventually everybody, I will get to witches. I do want to interview and see how they feel, how they were persecuted. But in closing, enjoy your life, have fun, do things with your family. Moms and dads, give your kids a hug. Tell them that they love you and you love them. And treat everybody with respect. And that's a big word. Respect. Not a lot of people want to do it. A lot of people are ignorant. A lot of people are nasty because, they think they have to be the number one of all and treat people like crap because, you know what, they're feeling crap. But it don't work that way in my book. Okay. I treat everybody with respect, and I expect to have that respect treated back. I hope that sounded right. But it is getting close to witching hour, and it's about time for close. So thank you for listening tonight. Happy hunting, and I'll see you next week. Thank you.
The pink plots where heroes dare make you feel though you were there. Characters jump out from the page. Stories from the golden age. Questions from your tense flames. The real you are at the range. Bullets fly fast and not fair. The dodge the lead. Oh, you might get shot. But stories from the golden age compelling you from page to page. If big and bold, they must be told. Stories from the golden age. Stories set on planets far. Start your journey to a star. Creative tales of future worlds, shaping what tomorrow holds. Adventures from the seven seas. So vivid you may feel the breeze. Buccaneers who fight for glory, drawing you into the story. For stories from the golden age, compelling you from face to page. Vivid and bold, enough to be told. Stories from the golden age.